Lindsay dethroned you as the smartest person on the show.
Yeah, I still don't believe that is true. I still believe I'm the smartest. If we go by SAT scores, I'm the smartest person on the show.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. I didn't even take the SAT, so I could take it now.
Well, what's your ACT?
Yeah, we didn't have to take the SAT, though. I went to Akron.
ACT?
Yeah, I don't even remember what I got on that. I'd have to look. I know it was pretty good.
Yeah, I shot me a 39 on that. Shot me a 39 on the ACT. That's pretty smart. It's a pretty smart dude. I hate to start the show. I don't want to start by bragging about how smart I am.
Yes,
I want to brag about how dumb I am. I love the big, dumb fun of F9 Fast and Furious 9. It is so much fun. It is just a big, stinking, dumb-ass movie. It's great.
Wow. I didn't expect that. I thought it was just like typical sequel. A lot of stuff blowing up, a lot of hot people, and that was it.
Well, that is what it is. I mean, it is. It's more of the same. I mean, it's exactly what you want from a Fast and Furious movie.
I like the other eight. Unlike you, you like seven of the eight.
The guy from Tokyo Drift does show up. Lucas Black, I think, is the name of the actor, right?
Okay.
Yeah, he shows up in this thing. Everybody is in this one, including not Jason Statham, but John Cena, who's great in it.
And is Jason Statham in it?
No, Jason Statham is in the sneak preview for Fast and Furious 10, which happens at the end of the movie. But I got two words for you. I don't want to spoil anything, because although it did like $78 million or something this weekend, so it's a gigantic movie. But car magnets. Car magnets are fantastic. These gigantic magnets that can suck in a car.
Spoilers.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. It's in the trailer. But it is a fun movie. It's fun to go back to the movie. I actually went twice this weekend.
You went to the actual theater twice.
Correct. This one is not streaming. You have to go to the theater to see Fast and Furious.
All right. Tell me about that. People wearing masks inside the theater or no?
No. Nope.
Nobody wearing masks?
No. Nobody wearing a mask. No. The staff was all wearing masks. Like
social distancing or no?
No.
Was either of the theaters completely full?
No. No.
Okay.
They were. I think people are coming to the movies very slowly. Although I saw the movie at the Landmark, which is generally kind of an art house. They happen to be playing F9, so I don't think the Landmark crowd was especially rushing out to see Vin Diesel. It's all about the family. I don't think that was necessarily their thing. So I am sure there were full theaters. If it did $70 million, there were full theaters somewhere in America this weekend. I've come around to the fact that I think movie theaters are going to make it. Movie theaters are going to survive.
Okay, now here's a question. Which one of the big theater chains went bankrupt, right? So, like, the Arclight that's by me is still closed.
Correct. And they're not reopening.
Really?
Yeah, they're not reopening. Somebody else will have to step in and take over that theater. I know you're down Manhattan Beach, the South Bay
one. Yeah, it's called Arclight Beach Cities.
Yeah, Arclight Culver City closed. Arclight Hollywood closed with the Cinerama Dome. Hopefully that will reopen. But no, that chain went belly up during the pandemic. And I understand why. But you know what? People are going to go back. I mean, there were groups of people. There was a group of probably 20 people at the Fast and Furious screening on Saturday that I went to. I mean, you know, all this talk about the world is going to be completely different on the other side. I'm starting to think the world is going to, that was all exaggerated. That the world is actually going to go back to being kind of exactly like it was before. We thought we'd still be wearing masks like in 2 years. Oh, we'll always wear a mask.
Well,
we may have to wear a mask for years in the future.
I think people are still going to wear masks on planes.
Yeah, I'll wear one on a plane.
I won't. Not unless they require me to.
You might as well not catch a cold or whatever. I mean,
yeah, screw that.
It seems like it's a reasonable thing. But I'm not wearing a mask the rest of the time. I mean, there are still people. I went and hit at the driving range yesterday, and there are still people wearing masks out there. I'm like, it's out. I assume if you're wearing a mask that you weren't vaccinated. If you're wearing a mask, I'm on the assumption that you're not vaccinated, because everywhere it says you're allowed to skip the mask if you have been vaccinated. So when I see a mask, I think, uh-oh, maybe that person didn't get their shots, or maybe they're one shot in or something like that. I think the world is coming back in a real and meaningful way, and I don't think all the things we expected to change are necessarily going to change. Do you?
I think there is going to be after effects.
Tell me what the difference is.
Well, I think, like, I haven't been to a bar yet. Have you?
No, but I'm not a big bar goer. I've been to indoor restaurants a bunch
of times.
Was
anyone sitting at the bar when you were at the indoor restaurant?
I'm trying to think. Not just sitting at a bar.
I think bars are a casualty of the pandemic. Now, that doesn't mean they won't eventually come back, but they're just not back yet.
I've got friends in West Hollywood who are saying, it was big Pride weekend. Bars were full. Bars were full in West Hollywood, because it was Pride weekend. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's like summer for real. It's like it's officially summer and the world is opening back up and it's the roaring 20s. Here we go. It's going to be wild. Everybody's going out and seeing everybody. Yesterday, John, I'm telling you, I went to the driving range.
All right, that's another stroke. Now you're down to, what did we determine I was giving you? We're playing 9 holes to, I was giving you 18. Now you're down to 17. Could you keep practicing?
John, you can make the number whatever you want. I'm not winning. I almost quit yesterday.
Why? What happened?
Because I can't, I'm just not striking the ball well. I mean, I'm hitting line drives up the middle, ground balls up the middle. I'm not getting any elevation.
Right, so let me tell you
I'm going to skip this lessons thing.
On Sunday, I went and played golf yesterday.
Yeah.
After 6 holes, I was 1 over. I was just killing it.
Wow.
Par, 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 1 bogey in there, just killing. I was going to have a great score. Par is 36 for 9 holes. I'm looking at a 37 or 38. I go double bogey on 8 and 9.
Right.
And shoot 41, which is still a really good score. On the back 9.
Great score.
On the back 9. Same exact thing. Through 6 holes, I'm even. All right? Even par. Really killing it. 7th hole, double bogey. 8th hole, double bogey. 9th hole, triple bogey.
Wow.
44.
Fell apart.
44, 41. I was like, who was that guy over the weekend that, Bryson DeChambeau just crumbled.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
No, not Bryson DeChambeau, Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson he was 7 over on the last 6 holes. That was me.
Here's my view, because I've argued about the strokes. I'm not even going to argue about the strokes thing anymore. You can make it 5, you can make it 20, you
Excellent.
Can make it 25, you can make it 18. As long as it's only 9, I'm fine. I'm not winning, so you can make the number whatever you want.
Okay,
I have
good.
No problem with it.
Good. I got to play with that.
What number are you going to make?
I don't know. I got to think about it now that you've given me carte blanche. I want it to be fair.
Because tonight's my first, my last golf lesson for 2.5 weeks.
Okay. Why?
I'm going away.
Oh, you're going out of town. Okay.
Yeah, I got a vacation coming up, and plus it's 4th of July. I'm not gonna play during 4th of July. What's weird about it is, I feel so out of place, and it's starting to get to be not that much fun.
Oh, really? You're
yeah.
starting to get frustrated.
Yeah, I've started to get really frustrated. Really frustrated.
Watch Happy Gilmore. That'll put you in the mood.
Exactly. Speaking of frustrated, John, I told you. Phoenix Suns in 5, and it's looking that way now. Paul George, man, put him at the free throw line with 8 seconds left, and you are set.
So, in that game, in game 4, the Clippers had 12 shots that would have either tied the game or put it ahead in the fourth quarter.
Right.
How many of the 12 do you think they made?
Oh, I think it was 3, wasn't it?
0.
0.
0 for 12. What, nobody's done that in 25 years. Here's what I've determined about Paul George. I think Paul George has rewritten the narrative on his career. I think that these playoffs have really helped him. He's kind of the reason the Clippers.
You really do?
I do, but here's what I've determined. When the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol, Pau Gasol had been in Memphis, and in his playoff record, he'd been in 3 series. He'd been swept in all 3. His playoff
right.
record was 0 for 12.
Yes.
When he got to the Lakers, he wasn't a 1. He wasn't
right.
like the best player, but he was better than everybody else's 2.
Right.
That's Paul George. Paul George is not a 1. He can't be the best player on your team, but he's better than almost everybody else's 2. Like, and so he keeps you in series, but if you've got to count on him to carry you through the end, It's probably not going to happen.
But you think he's rewritten his history?
I do, because
I think about is Steve Ballmer with his head buried in his hands after that missed free throw, and think every Clipper fan's got to be that frustrated that he can't make a free. He's a 90-plus percentage free throw shooter. You get down to the last 8 seconds of the game, it's brick, brick, brick.
Yeah, he's
so I think he's solidified his reputation as playoff P,
as pandemic P.
As pandemic P, yes.
As way off P.
Way off, P.
No, I think that, especially in the last series, I think he's the reason the Clippers made it to the Western Conference Finals. I think he's the reason they beat Utah. But he's not that guy. He's not Kobe. He's not Kawhi. He's not Chris Paul. He's not LeBron. You know, he's been, for whatever reason, paid like he is and treated like he is, but he's just not that guy.
Yeah, he's not that guy. And I think Steve Ballmer said it all with his face in his hands. By the way, if you're Paul and you look at Steve Ballmer after that first free throw and he puts his face in his hands like this, you're like,
yeah, not
oh
exactly
God.
The body language you're looking for out of the owner.
Even my boss is upset with me.
You missed another one.
To see him right there, it's like that is totally meme worthy right there. So
hey, yeah. big Dodger series tonight.
Boy, I'll tell you what, this actually, for early in the season, this one actually has some meaning to it.
By the way, you know how many teams in Major League Baseball have won 50 games?
One, the Giants.
Yep, and they're here tonight.
You know who's got the second best record in baseball?
Is it the Dodgers?
Yeah, Dodgers tied for second with the Red Sox. Yeah, 47 wins.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers figured something. Cody Bellinger looks like himself again.
Yeah, he had a good walk-off.
He had one
this
home
weekend.
Run coming into the weekend, and then he hit two in a matter of three at bats.
Yes.
That was kind of fun watching Zach McKinstry hit a grand slam.
Yeah, how about
the
that?
The pitching was good. Kershaw was good. I think the Dodgers have figured things out. But tonight will kind of be the test, won't it?
Well, let me give you a heads up. So, you know, I was looking at this series this morning, and tonight is Trevor Bauer. The Dodgers have drawn the short straw in that they are facing the two best Giants starting pitchers. So it's Bauer tonight versus Anthony DeSclafani, who's 8-2 with a 2.77 ERA. And then it's Walker Buehler versus Kevin Gausman, who I think right now is a contender for the Cy Young Award. He's 8-1 with a 1.49 ERA. So they're going to face the two best Giants starters. And if you think about it, we're 3.5 games behind the Giants now. So two-game series. On Wednesday, we could be a game and a half back. On Wednesday, we could be 5.5 games back.
Yeah, two huge series.
Yeah, really, really.
And it looks like the crowds are getting back and they're getting
into
it.
Although I saw the wave this weekend again, and I'm like, oh,
God bless the wave.
Stop the wave.
Let the people have their fun. What's wrong with
you? We must stop the wave. There's a baseball game going on. You shouldn't be worrying about orchestrated standing up.
What's next? You're
going to
be
up in the air dance.
You're
going to
be stop the beach ball guy.
Stop the beach balls. The beach balls annoy me. I'm the guy that punches a hole in the beach balls.
Yeah, you are. You're Mr. No, you're get off my lawn guy.
No, I'm here for a game guy.
Yeah. Smile
for a game.
Yeah, the games are boring. Let the fans have their fun.
The games are not boring. They are exciting, John.
Wait a minute.
The games are exciting.
Wait a minute. Seriously, you don't think baseball is turned into a swing and miss, no action running on the – why do you think they're changing all the rules?
As a baseball fan, I'm totally cool with it. All they did was start cracking – oh, that guy got busted. You see the guy get busted?
Yeah. Try and take the shortcut off the field. Yeah, rosin my ass. That guy's guilty. I've never seen anybody look that guilty.
He got like a perp walk off the field.
Yeah, of course he did.
It's terrible.
And you know they're going to check. You know the Giants are going to check Trevor Bauer tonight. You know it. You know.
Oh yeah.
There's going to be a standoff.
But
tonight.
If you get busted now, you're just dumb.
Right. It's kind
of. I mean, you know you're going to get checked multiple times. If you get busted now, you're just not getting it. It's not getting it through your thick skull.
Yeah. I mean, if you're putting spider tack on your mitt, you're a dope.
So we got so much going on today, including. Maybe Dame Lillard on the open market. All kinds of stories about that. And, of course, Lakers fans, we have dreams of Dame dancing in our heads right now. But we'll get into that. Mason Ireland, 710.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
SBM. Hey, that is Dame Dollar right there.
A very way above average rapper.
Above average.
Like easily the best rapper in the NBA. And like if he wasn't playing basketball, he'd have a shot at being an actual rapper.
So he is all kinds of noise this weekend. Apparently unhappy with the Portland Trailblazers, and he's been there, I think, 9 years, and they haven't really gotten anywhere. And now he's thinking, maybe I need to move, maybe I need to take another shot. Do you think he will move, John?
I don't. And no. I don't. At least not this year. I think he's going to play. Now, I don't know anything. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, sure.
But I think he's going to play.
We always know you don't. None of us know anything. That's okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. I probably don't need to preface anything with that. I think that he's just, Macy's never been that guy. He's never been a super team guy. He's never been an I want out guy. Now, having said that, Chris Haynes talks to a lot of players, and he's the one who wrote this story. There's no way that Chris made it up.
No.
Dame told him this, or somebody in Dame's camp told him this. But having said that, the way I interpreted it was, a warning shot across the bow that, hey, get your act together, Neil O'Shea. Bring some people in here that is going to give us a chance. Like Neil O'Shea after the season ended, said, I'm not trading anybody. I'm not trading Dame. I'm not trading CJ McCollum. I'm not going out and blowing up our core. We think we have the guys here to win. And there's just no.
What is their core is Dame, McCollum, Yosef Nurkic.
Nurkic, Melo. They got a kid named Anfernee Simons that's pretty good.
Yeah, Anfernee Simons. Yeah, but I mean, that team is no threat to do much of anything. I mean, if you're Dame Lillard and you look at that, you're like, I don't know. If we come back with the same, what chance do we got?
I think that's what this was. I think Dame is putting it out there that I'll compare it to this. Remember when Kobe in 2008 demanded to be traded?
Yeah.
And when he did a round of radio shows, he came on our show. He went on Stephen A's show. He said, and Stephen A said, where do you want to be traded to? He goes, I'll play on Pluto. I don't care. I just want out of here. I actually think that was a message to Mitch Kupchak. Hey, I'm not coming back here for more of this, for more of getting beat 4-1 in the first round. My career is short. I want to win titles. That's when, and I've always thought these things were related. I don't know. That's when the Lakers started making moves. It's when they traded for Pau Gasol.
Right, right.
It's when they, and then they were back in the finals the following year, and there was no more talk of Kobe leaving. Now, here's what I think could accelerate Dame leaving. If Neil O'Shea does nothing.
Right.
If Neil, I think he has to trade McCollum.
Well, that's really the most valuable chip he's got to move, and that's the number two. Dame needs a better number two.
Now, what about this trade? What do you think of this?
Okay. Trade machine.
Yeah. CJ McCollum.
Yep.
Anfernee Simons, who is pretty highly regarded.
Yeah.
He's like a young up-and-comer, potential future all-star. And a number one pick to Philadelphia for Ben Simmons. Simmons and Dame in the backcourt together.
Insane. I think Ben Simmons is awful. I don't think you can win with Ben Simmons. I know he plays defense.
But he's a walking triple-double.
I know, but they're not the right numbers. Obviously, in Philly, they're not the right numbers. Sometimes triple-doubles aren't really a measure of things. He gets a lot of assists. He'll get you 9 points a game or 10 points a game or 11 points a game, and he'll get the boards. But I don't think you can win with Ben Simmons on your team.
Okay,
and
Ben Simmons, going back to what we were talking about before, Ben Simmons is not a one. All right, he's not, and maybe not even a two.
No.
You know who Ben Simmons reminds me of? He reminds me of Lamar Odom. He does everything well. He'll have some games where he'll blow you away and some games where he'll disappear. Now, Lamar was a better shooter and a better scorer than Ben. But when Lamar was on the Clippers and on the Heat and they were expecting him to be the best player on the team, it didn't go well. When he came to the Lakers and he was the third best player on the team, then you had something. When he ate third behind Kobe and Powell, now here's the problem. If you trade CJ for Ben, Ben would be the two in Portland, and I'm not even sure he's a two.
No,
I think you would have to go out.
Two.
I think you would have to go out and do something else. But
and
I don't know.
Stop saying he's going to improve his shooting. This is now 4 years. He's going to improve his. He is what
you.
He is.
I'm with you. I just think the guy's never going to be a scorer in the league.
Woj says the Sixers are committed to him as a cornerstone of the franchise. He released that today.
Well, because Daryl Morey told him that. But, you know, Daryl, he'd trade his mother if the deal was good.
Yeah, no, he did trade his mother.
We're friends with Daryl, and Daryl just doesn't care. If he gets the right offer, Daryl would trade Embiid if he got the right offer.
But I would want no part of Ben Simmons. None.
Yeah, there's going to be several possibilities for Portland because McCollum is a really good player. How about this? Would you trade McCollum in a package for Bradley Beal?
Oh, God, yes.
You could do that.
Oh, Beal is a much better player than C.J. McCollum.
Right, but you would have to add
assets. Beal's the leading scorer in the league, isn't he?
I think he scored
more than anybody.
Did he win or Steph? They were right neck and neck.
They were
at the
right
end of
there
the
neck and neck. Yeah. It may have been
I think
Steph.
You're right. I think Beal did win.
But he scored 31.3 points per game this year. But Beal's a monster. Yeah, I would do that if I was Portland.
Or like, okay, trade. You know who's a really good player waiting to break out and he's just trapped? Is Zach LaVine in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that could be a guy you move CJ for. So there's some possibilities out there.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. So in my, Laker fan head, I was thinking today.
Yeah, all Laker fans think what you're about to say, but go ahead.
Okay, so here's the question. Would you rather, and I don't mean this in any mean way or discouraging way or anything, would you rather have Dame or AD?
I'd rather have AD. Because where has Dame gotten so far in his career?
Well, he's had no help.
Right. He
hasn't had the right supporting cast.
He made it to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, 2 years ago. I don't know.
I think availability is a huge part of being an NBA cornerstone player, and availability is my biggest concern with Anthony Davis.
Right, but there is nobody else in the
league. I'm not saying, by the way, this is going to happen. This is just, silly radio talk, but would you rather is an interesting question.
Always, in a variety of subjects.
Yes, it is.
But here's the thing about AD. Nobody at his size, nobody at 6'11", has his skill set. Mace, he guards all five positions. He can guard point guards. He's the best defensive player on your team, and he can go for 30 any night. He rebounds. He has no weakness other than the one you brought up in that he gets hurt. But other than that, if you can get him healthy, and the Lakers have blown up the training staff, they're out there, they're going to rebuild the training staff from the word go.
But doesn't Anthony Davis have his own trainer and stuff?
He does, but, I think they're going to do everything they can to keep him on the court. And I would not trade Anthony. This is me personally. And keep in mind, I'm super biased because I've seen him play every game for the Lakers that he's played in the last 2 years.
Yep.
I just marvel at his skill set. So if they said to me, if I was a GM, if I was Rob, and they said to me, trade AD, I wouldn't do it. I'd leave before I would do it. I just think that's – once you get a guy like that, you can't trade him. But,
And I'm not saying they're going to, and I'm not saying this is a real deal or anything like that. I'm not even thinking about it as a trade. I'm just thinking, would you rather have Anthony Davis or Dame Lillard?
Bigs are harder to get than smalls. And you already have LeBron. And by the way, I think isn't AD a little bit younger than Dame, or is Dame younger than AD? I think they're at the same age, right?
AD is 20. Somebody look that up. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're both around 30. I think they're both 28, 29, 30, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, they're right in the same range. Dame's a little old.
Dame went to college for 4 years. AD only went for one. So that probably means AD is younger.
Nine seasons in the
league. AD's younger because he came out after his freshman year at Kentucky.
Right.
It sounds like a wash in terms of age. It's just I still think, I know you're going to accuse me of seeing the world through purple and gold colored glasses.
Are you holding your paycheck right now?
Yeah.
Okay, look at your paycheck while you say this.
Yeah. If LeBron and AD didn't get hurt, the Lakers would be still playing.
Oh, well, no, I agree with that. I don't know anybody who does. I mean, Laker haters would probably disagree, but I mean, if you had a healthy AD and a healthy LeBron,
Phoenix fans
we'd still be playing.
Yeah, Phoenix fans think that this is their year. But
it is their year. But I mean, the injury bug bit the other team. And I think the Clippers exit tonight, John. Do you agree?
I do.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, I think in Phoenix, smells blood in the water and they're going to knock them out.
I'm trying to not like dance on the grave, but I really.
Yeah, you don't want another email from Amanda, do you?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Be nicer. Be nicer.
Be nicer to the Clippers. We have Clippers fans listening to us.
Or Bill Plaatske writing
another column. Bill Plaatske calling you out, not by your name?
Say my name, Bill Plaatske. Say my name. Local radio personality talking about how much he hates Bill.
My name.
Say my name. All right,
I miss Breaking Bad. We need new shows. Somebody's got. Yeah. When's Better Call Saul come back?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
When does Succession come back?
Yeah, those shows are running late. You know what's coming back though, really quick, in like one month, right after the NBA Finals. Ted Lasso's coming back,
and so is The Morning Show.
Oh, is Morning Show coming back?
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yep,
it's not really good, but I love it.
Yeah, you for some reason didn't like Reese Witherspoon in that.
Oh, Reese Witherspoon.
I thought everybody was great.
She is such a really talented actress, obviously has an Oscar, all that stuff. I just don't like her on that show. And I think she's one of the producers, so she does deserve credit for that.
She ain't going anywhere.
All right, coming up next, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. We'll never know what's going to come up. Never know what kind of question we're going to get. It's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I go to Starbucks every morning, and I get a breakfast sandwich, even though one time I found a piece of a human tooth in it. So yesterday, I go through the drive-thru, and the guy's name, he said, hi, on the speaker, right? When you pull up to the drive-thru window and you tell him what you want, he said, hi, this is Thunder. Welcome to Starbucks. And I thought, well, that is really an odd name, Thunder. Today, I drove up to the window, and the same guy said, hi, this is Quiet. How can I help you? Like, he just apparently changes his name every day to something weird. First he's Thunder, now he's Quiet. Who knows what it'll be tomorrow? Just messing with us. Lindsay says she gives a fake name every time she goes to Starbucks.
I do too.
Yeah,
do
because
you?
They it's right, like normally, they mess up your name on purpose to make you mad, don't they?
All right, so my favorite story about that is, do you remember, Mace, when the Jamie and Frank McCourt trial was going on?
Right, former owners of the Dodgers who had a big, ugly split.
So there was a rumor that Jamie was romantically involved with her bodyguard.
Oh, I remember this, sure.
And T.J. Simers kind of ran with it and had fun with it.
Yep.
And said, let's look at the evidence. Sitting on the table you sit at the table. What do they call that? The plaintiff and
and the defendant. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no defendant, but in, you know, one side, Jamie's table, her legal table. She was drinking out of a Starbucks cup that had her bodyguard's name on it.
Oh.
And TJ said, there's evidence that they're together away from the court.
And of course, it could totally be.
Right.
That she asked the bodyguard to get her a coffee.
Yeah. The next day,
yep,
when Jamie came into court, just happened to be the day that I went. I went because I wanted to see that trial in action.
Yes.
And you know what it said on her coffee cup?
No.
TJ.
No, really?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Did it to mess with him.
That is awesome. All right, well, it's time to spin the wheel of questions. It's brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes, yes. The wheel of questions has gotten so big, it is now officially sponsored. All right, Jorge, you ready? Let's spin the wheel. And it is... Okay. Well, it's not a dark question, which is good. Here's the question for Jorge and for Lindsay and for John. If you can have free, unlimited service for 5 years from an extremely good cook, an extremely good chauffeur, an extremely good housekeeper, an extremely good masseuse, or a personal secretary, which would you use?
That's
so in other
good.
Words, you get either a cook, a chauffeur, a housekeeper, a masseuse, or a personal secretary. You get to pick one, John. What would you choose?
It's hard. Because think of all the things you could get done if you had a chauffeur.
Yeah, true.
You know, like you could just sit in the back of your car and work on stuff.
Yep.
The masseuse, you would feel great all the time.
Yep.
But I think people underestimate how important it is what you put in your body, so I would take the cook.
The cook. The great cook. Okay. Lindsay, what about you?
I would be deciding. I never thought of that, how much stuff you could get done with a chauffeur. I was thinking more of the cleaning person, but I don't know. I'm one of those people who has to clean before the cleaning people come.
Right. I am too.
So It would come down to the
Which,
chauffeur.
By the way, is the stupidest thing in the world, cleaning before.
You do it, too.
No,
you
Juan do does it. I don't do it. I used to stack up dishes to the ceiling and say, all right, my housekeeper, Lady Marina, have at it.
It's really hard between the chef and the masseuse because I feel like when I have massages regularly, it makes my life so much better. I feel like it just makes my mental health so much better. I would probably go with the cook, though. The chef.
Cook. All right.
Yeah.
Jorge?
I'll go with the cleaning. With the cleaning person. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, think about it. You could just live however you wanted.
And she'd clean up right behind you.
One of the great perks, I stay in a lot of hotels. You know, in a non-pandemic time, I probably spend 120 nights a year in hotel rooms. How great is it that you never have to worry about cleaning anything?
Oh, it's so great.
With the baby? In my situation, with the baby?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, I don't believe. Mate, what are you going with?
I thought long and hard about the chef or the cook. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about that, like celebrities get these great chefs who make all healthy stuff that's really delicious. So it actually is really good for your weight and all that kind of stuff. So that's tempting. But I think what I would most like to have is a personal secretary or a personal assistant. Because I've always got, John, like you, I get stuff going on all over the place. Hey, go pick up this. Hey, I just printed that at the printer. Hey, get on the line with Lindsay and prep the show for me.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Like, Lindsay, would that work?
You talk to Lindsay, you would just talk to your assistant.
No, I don't think that would work. Hey, let me have my assistant prep the show with you. No, it's all working there, sorry.
Take some work off my plate.
Was it Ben that one day brought his own personal intern to the show?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He had an intern.
and the station made him leave.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't put in. Ben, the guy was like, Ben, basically the guy was Ben's. Ben described him as an intern, but it was basically a free personal assistant.
Oh, yes, free assistant. Exactly. An assistant, actually, a cool thing to think. You know what we didn't mention is Lie of the Day. So Lie of the Day has turned into a thing. You guys so far have not figured out a lie correctly.
Yeah, I'm going to do a better job of writing down, when I think you've told a lie.
Yes, do that. Do that. Okay. And Jorge, you do that. And Lindsay, you do that so you can figure out what the lie is by the time we get to the end of the show. One thing on the show, totally making up. Just totally making up. Pay attention and see if you – actually, if you can figure it out at the end of the show, we'll give you a 4-pack of tickets to go see Black Widow with me.
That's a good idea.
Premiere, which is coming up on July the 8th. So pay attention to everything I say. I will tell you right now, I've not told the lie yet, but it's coming. It's coming very soon. That is coming up for you. Plus, John, Tom Brady is a liar, speaking of lies, and he's copped to it. That is coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah! Cranking it up for another week. So, well, I said I went to the movies twice this weekend, John. Twice. Mm-hmm. And I saw F9, which is fantastic, big, stupid, dumb, fun movie. And I also went back to see In the Heights, which I think is I guess it didn't hit the way people thought it was going to hit, but I absolutely love that movie. Did you love it? You didn't really
I did.
Love it.
No, I liked it a lot. Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. I don't understand the criticism of it.
That's stupid. The criticism is stupid. It really is. I mean, honestly, as Jorge said last week, I mean, it includes a virtually all Latino cast.
Right, and apparently there were not enough
Afro-Latinos.
Yeah, black Latinos, according to some people. So.
Yeah, but
LZ
it's a
noticed
great
it.
Movie.
So, maybe, who am I to say that it's not a thing, but I didn't get it. I didn't
I heard. I heard LZ talk about it, absolutely. So, Tom Brady. Went on The Shop. You know that show, The Shop, right?
I saw him, yeah.
Yeah. Tom Brady said something really interesting. He said he lies all the time. He said basically when he is doing a press conference, here he says, what I say versus what I think are two totally different things. I would say 90% of what I say is not what I'm actually thinking, which is challenging. I really admire people that actually can do that and say what they think because they invite a lot of other things in their life. I think there's a part of me that doesn't like conflict, so in the end, I just always try to play it super flat. From a strategic standpoint, I never want to give away what we're doing. I usually say the opposite. So basically, his press conferences are total BS.
Right, and I think if we were being honest, most athletes are like that. They just wouldn't admit it, like Brady just did. I think most athletes don't tell you what they're really thinking, don't you?
Yeah, is it fair to say that nobody in a situation like that actually says the whole truth? I don't care if you're
every
a politics or a celebrity
while, yeah,
or whatever.
Every
you are.
Once in a while, you'll get a Charles Barkley.
He'll just say whatever.
Every once in a while.
I feel like the player that's like 90 to 95% of the things that they say in general, especially when it comes to like the media conversations they have, I bet like 90 to 95% of it is BS.
Yeah, when Mace, when we were working in San Diego years and years ago,
yep.
The Chargers had a defensive lineman named Bert Grossman who literally would say whatever he thought. He was an absolute pleasure to interview because he would just tell you whatever popped into his head. You know how you have friends and you have people that have no filter?
Yep.
That was him. But I'm trying to think of, I mean, I think I can count on my two hands the amount of athletes over the years that would tell you what they really thought.
Right.
You know, Barkley was one. Like I said, Grossman was one. I can't think of a baseball player.
Yeah, no, I can't think of a Trevor Bauer.
Close.
I was going to say he's gotten more calculated, though, over the years.
I agree with Lindsay. I think that he's not telling us what he completely thinks. Like, we still don't know if Trevor Bauer is doctoring the ball. I think he is.
He's been checked.
I think he is.
Yeah, but before the check started and we asked him, he was asked about it. He was very evasive.
And he was like, if you want to have a conversation about, regulating this, we can. But look at his spin rate. It just keeps going up and up and up and up. He's not doing that naturally. So
yeah, when I was on WNEW in New York, Bobby Valentine did a weekly appearance. And Bobby was so full of crap. So full of crap. There was a clubhouse thing between, do you remember Benny
Hawaiian Punch.
Benny Agbayani?
Yeah.
Got into an altercation with Robin Ventura.
Okay.
I had Bobby on the show. He was on every Monday. Would not address it. Would not talk about it. Said, we're great. We're fine. There's nothing going on. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, no, there's actually something that you can say here. There's something you can throw us a bone, Bobby. Give us something. This is why we don't have more athletes and coaches and executives
think
on
about
the show.
You know
nobody's
who was,
telling the truth.
You know who was Bobby Valentine's mentor?
Tommy Lasorda.
Right. And Lasorda was the ultimate showman. But Mace, how many times did we, after the cameras or the mics went off, talked to Lasorda, and he had great stories that never tell publicly. But anybody who's ever worked in the sports media knows him.
Oh, no,
and they're just
no
spectacular.
Question. Yeah, and a lot of them I don't think we can even tell all the Lasorda stories, can we?
Oh, God, no. Especially not in not in 2021.
Yeah, no, the stuff was crazy. Tommy was, he was wild. He was wild.
I play a lot of golf with Eric Karros. He was very close with Tommy. He was Tommy and him had a great relationship. And he'll get going on those things. And I'm like laughing so hard, I'm like brought to tears.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Tommy had unbelievable stories that just, and because he was so good to the media, nobody's ever written a book. Nobody's ever really kind of outed those stories, but they're all great. Yeah, but that's Brady is. I'm surprised he was as honest as he was.
Everybody seems to get honest on that show.
They give
him the truth serum.
Yeah, they're drinking. Yeah. You open wine and get it going in there. Draymond's been in there a few times. He was on the one with Brady. He's always been really good.
Oh, he's
I think Draymond's the next Barkley.
Do you? Oh well, he's great on TNT. He was great when I saw him.
I think
on
Draymond
TNT.
Is going to be the guy that he'll tell you what he thinks and he doesn't care.
And you know,
but he'll never be Barkley.
Why? No, nobody will. You think he cannot be? You think he can be Barkley?
I think he can be like him. Yeah, I think Barkley was a better player than Draymond.
But I think Barkley is a once in a lifetime broadcaster. Yeah.
I don't know if Draymond's a Hall of Famer. Well, remind me to bring that up when Michael gets here. Maybe he is. Three titles, two Defensive Player of the Years.
Yeah,
led the Warriors in triple doubles. Maybe he is. I don't know.
You know, John. On this day in 1993, something, at least in my life, huge happened. Late Night with David Letterman aired for the final time on NBC. Remember, that was right before he went to CBS.
Right.
And my sense of humor, everything that I think is funny, for more than anywhere else, came from my love for David Letterman. When I was at Bowling Green, we used to stay up every night and watch David Letterman. That was some of the craziest stuff that we'd ever seen on TV.
Well, you know who else says that?
Who?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, Jimmy Kimmel.
Credits Letterman with his entire persona.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, where's yours come from?
He was part of it. Because, as you know, even back then, I didn't sleep. So yeah. I stayed up and watched all those shows. I watched Letterman. I watched your friend Tom Snyder, who was on like super late at night. Matter of fact, I was watching that History of Late Night, and I didn't know until I watched
CNN. Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, I didn't know until I watched that one of the reasons that Dave gave that show to Tom, gave Tom the Late Late Show, which you eventually became one of his partners.
Yep.
Was I had forgotten this, that when NBC gave Dave the show on after Johnny, that he put Tom out of a job.
Yep.
And Tom was hosting, I think it was called The Tomorrow Show.
The Tomorrow Show, yeah.
And Dave was always a fan of Tom's, and he felt bad that Tom was the casualty of him getting the 12:30 spot on NBC. So as soon as he had a chance to, for lack of a better term, right or wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
When as part of Dave's move to CBS, they said, we'll give you, and I think it was Robert Morton, his producer at the time, the 12:30 show as well, and you guys can produce it and program it, and then that's when Dave said, let's go get Tom Snyder.
That was a fun show to do. Working with Tom was really,
Did
really
you know
cool.
that he knocked Tom out of a job?
Yeah, well, I know that, for example, when Tom was doing a show on, I think on CNBC, Dave was a regular caller to his show.
Okay, so they were friends from way back.
It would always be like, Bill from Indianapolis, and it would be David Letterman calling into the show. Letterman, I saw recently, he was at that Vax Live concert at SoFi Stadium a few weeks back when Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters were there. So he loves the Foo Fighters. The very first show back from having a heart attack, the Foo Fighters played. And then on his very last show, the Foo Fighters played. So he was there to introduce him. And the cool thing was, when he came out, he was at SoFi Stadium, and it's hard to describe how wildly spectacular SoFi Stadium is.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it justice with... I was thinking about this. I don't think you can do it justice with words. I think it's one of those things you have to see.
And Dave comes out and says, the very first thing he says is, I'm excited to be here. This is my first time in a spaceship.
Yeah.
And it is super futuristic, SoFi Stadium. People are going to be blown away when they get in there.
Think about this, Mace. All the venues you and I have been to in our lives, you know, hundreds of them.
Sure.
The most expensive stadium / arena ever built was Cowboy Stadium, Jerry World, for $1 billion.
Yes.
This cost $5 billion.
Five billion.
Times that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Is it do you think it's the greatest venue in the world now?
It's the greatest venue I've ever been in.
It's the greatest venue I've ever been in, too. I can't think of even what's close. It's like nothing you've ever – I mean, it really is. Dave Letterman said, spaceship, it really does have this futuristic feel. Like
when we were on the road with the Lakers, we went to US Bank Stadium, the new Viking Stadium that's 7 or 8 years old now. Maybe be older than that. And they took some of the thing. I thought that was a spectacular setup. Our friend Michelle Tafoya was working down on the field, and I went down and talked to her, and she lives there, and she was telling me that it was like indescribable when they built it. Because remember, they used to play in the Metrodome, which was kind of a, you know, kind of a dump. And then they built this U.S. Bank Stadium. And SoFi makes U.S. Bank Stadium look like an outhouse. I mean, it's unbelievable
how
luxurious it is.
I'm
excited for people to get to go in there.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Excited to finally use the season ticket to see Matthew Stafford and the Rams.
There you go.
Matthew Stafford, this is the year. This is the year. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Sean McVay seems very pumped up over what he's seen from Matthew Stafford so far. It's early in the game, but Matthew Stafford, we all know, who play fantasy football, has lit up the field for the last, I don't know how many years, 10 years or something. He's always been a great fantasy quarterback. Now we get to see him on a team that's actually competitive, a team with a defense, a team with a great running back, great wide receivers. All of a sudden, you put Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles. I think we're going to get a much different game than we've seen the last couple of years with Jared Goff. Hey, you know, who has given Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred strategic approach to media? Who is actually I sound bad. Who's running communications at Major League Baseball? I guess is my question.
Do you think that they screwed something up?
Yeah, I do. I think they screwed something up, and we'll talk about that. Plus, John, this would be big for you. Brand new celebrity hangout coming to Beverly Hills. This is your scene. Yeah, and it's from some people we know. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.